But when Brexton started racing, obviously I'm kind of his driver coach. I kind of help him through different scenarios, make him think about things in a different way and things like that. So that kind of helps me do the same thing. I'm my own driver coach now on Sundays.
Welcome to The Art of Fatherhood, a podcast that takes you on the journey of fatherhood. Now here's your host, Art Eddy.
Are you finding it hard to prioritize your own health because you're too busy? I've been there. Hi, I'm Andrew Hayes, father of two young kids and the founder of Alta Coaching. And I know firsthand the struggle of balancing parenthood, career, and personal health. For a long time, I thought being a good dad meant putting everything and everyone before my own health. I was working hard, but I was also battling digestive issues, high cholesterol, and constant fatigue. Then everything changed when I made the decision to invest in my own health by hiring a coach. That pivotal moment led me to found Alta Coaching, which is a nutrition and fitness coaching program designed to fit into any busy lifestyle. At Alta, we understand the difficulty of finding time to be better. That's why our holistic habit coaching method focuses on providing achievable wins that integrate into any existing routine. You don't have to give up the food you love. For me, that's pizza and beer. You don't have to spend 7 days a week in the gym either. We work with you to hit your goals on your time in a way that still leaves extra time for family, friends, hobbies, or anything else that's important to you. So whether you're looking to lose weight, build muscle, improve your gut health, or simply boost your energy levels, at Alta Coaching, we're here to support you every step of the way. And this is a reminder that you'll never be less busy than you are today. So don't wait for the perfect moment. If you're ready to take that first step towards a healthier, better you, visit www.altaforlife.com to book a free consultation call with me or to download any of our free resources. And if you mention the Art of Fatherhood podcast, we'll give you the first month free. www.altaforlife.com today.
What's going on, everybody? Art Eddy here for another edition of the Art of Fatherhood podcast. I'm very lucky and fortunate to have this gentleman back on. It's none other than Kyle Busch. What's up, sir? How you doing?
All right. Doing well. Yourself?
Doing well, man. First time we talked about fatherhood, it was just you, your wife, and your son. Now you add your daughter to the mix, Lennox. Talk about being a girl dad, man.
Yeah, no, it's definitely been fun. We've had a great time with Lennox being here and being a part of the family and learning the ropes of what it's like to be a girl dad. But, you know, she's a little tomboyish. She likes to pick up a race car probably over a Barbie doll. So that's all right, you know, but we're still mom, of course, is all wanting her to be girly girl as much as she can be. So, you know, but as a family, we get to travel to the race weekends many of the times all together. And we were down in Daytona for 12 days. Brexton was racing. I was racing and everything else. And they kind of are along for the ride right now. But, you know, one of these days, I'm sure she's going to want to get behind the wheel, too. So we'll see about that.
She sees how much dad and her brother are having. He's like, all right, I want to get part of that. Right. I love it.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know how much I love it, but, you know, Samantha's already got the paint scheme designed. Apparently, it's going to be neon pink with leopard and glitter. So.
That's awesome, man. I love that. Talk about something that now being a, you know, a dad of two, something that your kids have taught you either about yourself or about life that maybe didn't know was there until you became a dad.
I would say the biggest thing is just, you know, patience and learning and listening. You know, one of the things I think is kind of most interesting is, you know, I'm a race car driver and I've been a race car driver for a long time and I've been successful, won a lot of races and whatnot. But when Brexton started racing, obviously I'm kind of his driver coach. I kind of help him through different scenarios, make him think about things in a different way and things like that. So that kind of helps me do the same thing. I'm my own driver coach now on Sundays. You know, I'll ask myself questions that I would ask Brexton while I'm out there racing. Like, well, how come I don't do this? Well, how come I haven't tried that? Like, what if we do this and need to hit the bottom, make sure you wrap the bottom. And so just things like that. So it kind of helps out. And, you know, I feel like it's brought in any more success, but it's definitely brought in some better results.
Nice. And I love the fact that, you know, you kind of get more accountability of your own actions racing with your son racing, right? So talk a little bit, like, is it like a lot of nerves, a lot of like, you know, pride? I bet a lot of pride, but like, how do you kind of balance like being the coach, being a dad, but also letting him find his own path in driving?
Yeah. You know, for me, we have some races that we run that we're allowed radios that I'm allowed to talk to them. And then we run a lot of races where we don't have radios where I'm not allowed to talk to them. So to me, I feel like my biggest tendencies during the races in which he doesn't have a radio is I'm nervous because I can't get on the radio and tell him what to do and kind of give him some different thoughts or to help him through his race. And so when he's out there all by himself, I'm like, man, I hope he's ready for this. I hope he's got everything in his mind that he needs for this race. And so that to me gets me a little nervous because me having the experience that I do and being 38 years old, I feel like I'm ready for any scenario. He's only 8 years old. He's only been doing this for 2 or 3 years, but you know, what's his mental capacity that at an 8 year old level versus, you know, some of these other kids that he's racing are 13, 14, 15, you know? So, he's against some much older competition, which is great. Keeps him on his toes, keeps him tough and makes him faster. But, you know, but obviously you get no greater satisfaction than seeing your own win. So when we're able to score those victories and go to victory lane and celebrate as a family, we have a lot of fun. We enjoy that the most. And, I tell you what, man, he does a good job and wins a lot. So he tells me that he wins more than me all the time. Trust me, I hear you.
Awesome, man. And, you know, so here's another thing too. Like you're talking about like how you want to like guide him and all that other stuff when you don't have the radio, right? Like I feel like, so my daughters are 16 and 13. I'm teaching my oldest now how to drive. I feel like you guys are going to ace that when they become the driving age because heck, he's driving. Your daughter wants to get in her own race car as well. So I think you'll be there good there. But I think the knowledge you're getting now or just the experience of, man, I wish I could tell him this. I wish I could tell him that. Because he's doing a lot of kind of like grown-up things, right? I think that will kind of set a little bit you at ease for the bigger things when they become high schoolers or college, right? Or maybe, I don't know, there's always going to be certain things you're going to worry about as a parent, but I feel like because you're having this now and you're like, all right, I'd love to tell him this, but he's got to learn this on his own, it's almost like you're preparing your own self for a future when they get older, right?
Yeah, definitely. You know, and there is that balance too, where if you tell them too much, either they forget about it or they stop listening to you, one or the other. And then, you know, the other piece too is just, you know, trying to help them through every scenario. Like you said, they don't have a chance to learn, so they don't know what learning is. So, you know, at this age where he's 8 years old, you know, I definitely want him to win. I want him to be successful, but we get to learn a lot in the moments that we don't win too. So I don't think I ever really had that when I was a kid. All I knew was guns a blazing, man, checkers or wreckers. So, and dad was pissed when you were on the wrecker. So you better bring home the checker. Where this day and age with Brex, I mean, some of the competition we see is pretty tough. So we just focus on, you know, going out there, getting results, doing our best, making sure we hit all of our marks. When we check off everything that we know how to do, everything that we've been taught, we typically win. If we don't, then we got to figure out what we did wrong in order to make it better. So, and that's on my hands too. That's not just the driver with Brex. That's on the crew chief, you know, making the car decisions and things like that. But yeah, I mean, you know, life decisions, things like that with him. I mean, we haven't gotten to the point where it's, you know, trying to tell him that it's not you that I'm worried about on the road. It's all the others out there on the road that I'm worried about. Trust me, I remember that line when I was a kid. I think that one is still the most popular one today when you're teaching your little ones about their permits and getting their driver's license.
No doubt, man. So for you, you know, a lot of people look up to you. So now being a dad of two, for people who are maybe like find out the news that they're having a second child and all that. And I know that we've talked about, especially the, you know, how much it meant to you to become a dad with everything you guys went through before. So I'm happy that you guys have another child, but like for the second child, like for people who are going to have a second kid into the mix, what advice would you give to them?
Yeah. I mean, I would say that, it gets busy. You know, there's just a lot to it. I don't know how people with three or four or five even do it. I don't know how they sleep. I don't understand it, you know? So, I always told Samantha, I was like, look, we are never going past man-to-man coverage. Like I am terrible at zone. It's going to be man-to-man. I got one, you got one, like that's it. So, that's where we rest, you know, that's where we're at. So it's the best advice though, you know, for me is again, that patience factor of just kind of taking a step back, thinking, listening, working through it, building through it, talking to your partner, you know, explaining if you've got frustrations and trying to work through those and, you know, being able to have that open communication as a husband and wife. And then also obviously being on the same team when it comes to discipline down the road, that's definitely the biggest thing. And understanding that you can't always have the same one be bad cop and good cop. You've got to mix them up. You know, you can't have one loving one and not the other.
Well said, man. I love that. So communication, obviously you said you got like a new, I know you always have respect for your team, but just the idea of like, you see it as a, you know, pit crew chief differently because you're, you know, you're the driver for your team and all that. Has, it's like your team being like, oh, have you like said anything like with your guys, you know, your team? They're like, oh, now you see this because you're the pit crew. Like, have they kind of like, it's like, are appreciative like your son's racing because you see a little bit more of what maybe your team was trying to talk to you about?
Not since having kids. No, I feel like I picked up that earlier, you know, okay, before kids, but you definitely see that now. I've been a team owner in NASCAR for 12, 13 years with the Truck Series team. So having a lot of people working underneath you and trying to pull those people in the same direction. And we were successful. We won the most truck races as a team ever. We won the most owners championships as a team ever. So we definitely had some really good people. And I just sold that endeavor this off season. So we've kind of moved on from the truck stuff and now just focus on the grassroots level stuff with Brexton and his sponsors from Servpro and me with Lucas Oil. We've got a cool little micro junior sprint Bandolero race team that's going, and we enjoy that. I like to get out there and just kind of have fun and go on some of the same tracks that Brexton gets to go on and learn about the track and the car and what adjustments do what, because he's 8, and so he doesn't really tell me what's happening with the car as much as we do from just watching it.
Yeah, nice, man. So it's the fun, like I feel like these past couple of years, especially on like your social media handles, people are saying like, man, I didn't, it's tough, like, you know, rooting for Kyle, but these videos are making me more of a fan of his and all this other stuff. Cause you know, everyone has their own, you know, drivers they support and all that. Do you feel like in the past few years you've looked at your career with all the accomplishments and everything? Now you know, you're working with your son too, but like, are you kind of almost looking at it from a bird's eye view with your great career right now, where you're just letting, and obviously you're putting so much hard work and dedication, but like maybe letting a little bit more fun seep in through each year, or no?
Yeah, I would say so. You know, as you get older and you get into your 20th season of going on the road and racing in the Cup Series, you know, there's certainly been a lot of times where you feel like, man, this is just so draining and so wearing on you. So try to not allow it to be so draining and, you know, work and, you know, I guess dreading going, you know, each week. And our sport's hard. It's tough because there's only one winner every week. You know, it's not like football where you get six, if there's 32 teams, you get 16 teams that win and 16 teams that don't. Like, there is one winner every week that we go to the racetrack. And so when you get beat and you only win, let's say, 1, 2, or 3 races a year, I mean, there's 33 other races where you're just getting beat down because you didn't win, you know? And so you just know that there's a lot of hard work that goes into this. And so with the amount of load and work and time and effort and everything that you put into your job and you're not successful at it, then your family's suffering because you're not home enough, you know? So there's a lot to it. It could really become tough, and you've got to be mentally tough. You got to be strong. You got to have a great support system like I do back at home that can kind of help you through that stuff. And I'm definitely trying to put more fun into it and make it fun and be with the group of guys that I'm with and just go to the racetrack, enjoy all of it. And, you know, I don't know when my last race is going to be. You never know when your last race is going to be, but I'm definitely a lot closer to the end than I am the beginning.
Thank you very much for sharing that. One more question before we finish off with the Father of Quick Five. So kind of with that, with the 20 years, man, that's insane. Like, it's like, again, sometimes people take, you know, how long you've been racing for granted, right? Like, I know you and your team and your family ain't doing that, but it's just, it's crazy because like you're a staple there and you have that, right? And over the years, like, I've been fortunate enough to check out like the ins and outs of NASCAR, man. Like, it is legit. Like, race day, like everything that the car goes through, inspection, and like you said, you're racing against everybody. And, you know, if you don't, you know, you come up second, you're not winning. You almost have like, man, what did I do wrong? I could have been there, whatever. But for you, what is, like, with the evolution of NASCAR, what is one thing that you have think that has helped the sport grow? Because I feel like, you know, you guys add on different things. They talk about baseball where they're shortening the game and all that other stuff. For you, what do you think something that they've instilled in NASCAR, do you think is kind of blown up with, you know, fan experience and people loving NASCAR more?
Well, I mean, I'd say back in the mid-90s, early 2000s, you still had sponsors that were with drivers for the entire season, you know, so fans could come to the racetrack. They knew their guy, they knew who they pulled for, or they knew who they didn't like. And so now it's a little bit tougher though. You know, we've got a lot of different sponsors on our race car this year. You know, we've got Zone on there. We've got BetMGM. We've got Rebel Bourbon. We've got FICO. It's just a lot of different names, Morgan and Morgan that are across our car. So each week it gets a little bit tougher for the race fan to kind of, the casual fan to kind of come to the racetrack or pick up on that or who's who. So you kind of got to look by car number, right? So, but for me, what's some of the best things? I mean, I would think that this new car has really brought on the close competition. I mean, you can go each week and not really know who's going to win. I mean, years ago, you could kind of pick, especially as the season kind of went on, you knew who had the dominant cars. You knew who was really up ahead on top of their technology and stuff. And you can kind of pick who you wanted to be to win the race. Nowadays, man, I feel like it's tougher now than ever with the competition being so tight. You can literally go to the racetrack and probably have 8 to 12 guys that can score the win. And so, you know, different organizations, whether it's RCR or Hendrick or Gibbs or, you know, even Roush last year won some good races. So it's just a lot closer competition. And I feel like that's bad for us because all we want to do is win and dominate and be the star power that of the series, you know?
Yeah.
But it's great for the fan because it just kind of tunes them in and allows them to be a part of the action on not knowing who's going to win. I want to see a great finish like this past weekend at Atlanta with our Cheddar's race car. We put that thing right up front and had a shot to win. I just didn't stick my tongue out far enough at the end in order to get that victory. So I was shooting for them free chicken tenders on Monday, man. I was really looking forward to that number 8 special, but oh damn, so close.
Thank you very much. I know you're a very busy guy. I appreciate you being gracious with your time. We're going to finish off with the Father Quick Five. Favorite family movie right now? Do you guys have one?
You know, with the baby girl now here, so I think we're getting a little bit too much Frozen.
Gotcha. There's another one coming along the way, so get prepared for that one,
man. Great. Thank you.
Favorite like genre of music, or is there an artist you like to, you know, like show your kids?
You know, we've got a big playlist that we play here at home with all of our kids and stuff like that. But for me, I've kind of gone on down the country stuff a little bit lately. So, you know, that's always, I listen to anything. So it could be Katy Perry, it could be Eminem, it could be Metallica, you name it. But the country stuff has really kind of come on as of late. And we're also having a foundation event here in Charlotte on May 22nd at Boatyard Eats for the Bundle of Joy Fund, Samantha and I's foundation that we support. Yeah. And we've got Russell Dickerson, who's going to come and play for that. So cool to have him be a part of it. And we're excited about a cool show. And hopefully everybody comes out and supports that.
Nice. And obviously people can go to kylebush.com to check out more details for that.
Correct? Absolutely. Yes, sir. Thank you.
Yeah, no doubt. Describe the perfect family vacation. Where would it be?
We love the beach. We're not very good cold weather people. So we'll drive up to the mountains of Boone and we'll go skiing or snowboarding or something like that just to kind of get out and be a part of the cold. But we're coming right back to the home that night. You know, we're not staying up there for days at a time dealing with that. So I'd say, you know, somewhere in the Caribbean is a great vacation spot. We've been to Turks. We've been to St. Lucia. We've been to St. Bart's. You name it. We've been there. So we enjoy always going down there, having a good beach vacation.
Sweet. Okay, you guys do Halloween right, man. I love the costumes. The family costumes are getting better and better. Without spoiling it, maybe you can spoil it, but do you have an idea of what you guys are going to be for this year?
Definitely not this year. No, I'm still trying to get over last year. So, no, we don't have this year picked out yet. I would say so we always let Brexton kind of pick.
Yeah.
Kind of give him like a couple different things to choose from that he can pick from. So then we can kind of all do it as a family together and be a part of it as one. But as soon as Brexton better be ready, because as soon as Lennox is old enough to figure it out, we're going to be going as whatever Lennox wants to go as. So we've got a good 10 more years at least of playing dress up for Halloween. So I can't tell you what's next.
Love it, man. Keep up the great work with that. And lastly, top three words you hope your kids would use to describe you as a dad. What would you want them to be?
Loving, caring, and OCD is probably not a very good term to use, but I would say that's probably one that they would use.
Oh, you and I are so alike. Yes. They call me the sheriff sometimes. So I love it, man. That's so
there
cool.
You go. People make I'm definitely sure. not the sheriff. That's mom. Mom's the sheriff.
Love it, man. People, make sure you follow Kyle on Instagram at Rowdy Bush. And of course, check out his website, kylebush.com, for all the greatest things that he's doing, especially like for the foundation and all that. Again, thank you very much. It's really cool to see your son follow your lead and, you know, just kick butt and win more than you, as he always says to you. But I wish you and your family continued success. But thanks, man.
Yeah, no problem. Appreciate you. Good to see you, man.
thanks for listening to this week's episode of the Art of Fatherhood podcast. I really appreciate your support. And I also appreciate Alta for sponsoring this week's episode. Kat and Andrew are doing really great things over at their site at altaforlife.com. They've worked with hundreds of clients. They've grown exclusively by word of mouth, and they pride themselves on getting results for their clients in a way that doesn't disrupt any other priorities such as family, friends, travel, or career. So if you are looking to live a healthier lifestyle, if you're looking to achieve goals in fitness, weight loss, wellness, make sure you check out altaforlife.com and see how Andrew and Kat can help you achieve your goals. And while you're on the internet, please go to artoffatherhood.net, rate, subscribe, and review to the podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. I greatly appreciate it. I've had overwhelming support in the last few years. Love the reviews, love the ratings. Thank you so much for that. Make sure you also go to the website, check out the different articles, reviews, different stories on fatherhood and just pop culture. And also there are chances for giveaways and prizes. So check out my website over at artoffatherhood.net. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Art of Fatherhood podcast. Leave a review wherever you listen to podcasts and go to artoffatherhood.net.